Hello and welcome back to the podcast. It's show 130, but it's show 130 with a difference. This launches the first of a series of shorter podcasts where I'm just speaking with commercial pinhole manufacturers. We're calling it Spotlight, a spotlight on the manufacturers. Not a lot of thought went into the title, but you get the idea. And we're really pleased this week to have Mia Pinhole, Andrea from Mia Pinhole. And what a delight it was, too. I hope you enjoy it as much as I did. Hello, and welcome back to the Lensless Podcast. This is show 130, but a show with a difference. We're launching a series of smaller interviews, which I've decided to call Spotlight, because we're lining up manufacturers of pinhole cameras, commercial pinhole cameras, you know, 3D printed ones, wooden ones, whatever material folks are using out there, acrylic. And the idea is that we ask a series of set questions and see where the answers take us. But the idea is that we kind of limit it to 20 to 30 minutes. And I'm really pleased to offer up our first guest, who's Andrea, who lives in the UK but is from Italy, as you'll soon realise. And he's the man behind Mia Pinhole. So, Andrea, lovely to meet you, and thanks for coming on.
No, thank you. Hello, everybody.
So, Andrea, you've got the question, so we'll see where it takes us. And apologies, folks, if we ramble and don't stick to our 20 minutes, but we'll see. We'll try very hard to stick to our 20 to 30 minutes. So, Andrea, tell us about Mia Pinhole, where you are. Is it just you? How the business was started? Basically, the background to Mia Pinhole.
Yeah. Mia is just me. And it started not a lot of time ago, probably one year and a half ago. Just by chance, to be honest. And my friend, if I have to be fair, my friend was the COVID, because it all started with the pandemic. So basically, I've always been interested in photography, but I never tried film photography. And so before, I was just shooting with digital cameras. And I have to say, I didn't really enjoy it. I mean, it was okay, but now that I tried film photography, it is completely another thing. So it all started with the pandemic, because at the beginning, I found myself at home from work. I've been at home for almost a couple of months, a month and a half.
So, Andrea, what was the job that you were at home?
I am a designer for a living.
Okay, right. So you had so design is in your blood and in your in your day to day.
Okay. And so basically, it all started with the pandemic. I was at home, and I said, "Well, okay, I've got a month and a half. What can I do now?" And because I always got this bug of film photography in mind, I said, "Well, let's start with the developing process," because I wanted to shoot film, but I wanted also to learn how to develop films. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, this is what I started with. I ordered online, of course, because we couldn't walk around. I ordered online the Patterson kit. Mm-hmm. And like this is started. So I started using films cameras. I started, of course, I've been affected like everyone else with gas. You know, I started buying cameras and this kind of
stuff. But you started too late, Andrea, because you should have been buying cameras about 10 years ago when nobody wanted them.
I know, you're right. And to be honest, since a couple of years ago, the prices have gone crazy. I mean, at the beginning, it wasn't too bad. But now it's, I mean, I think it is kind of normal, you know, when there is the request, there is the offer and you pay the offer. I mean,
Yeah.
now that film photography has become quite, let's say, a trend, I don't think it, well, I mean, if it's something that you really like, it can't be a trend. It is your passion, your
Well,
what you.
Andrea, folk, if you've listened to me ramble on in the past, you'll know that I've been doing film photography since I was, 40, at least 40 years, and it's taken all this time for me to finally become trendy and hip.
Well, good.
Although my grown-up children probably wouldn't agree with me. Anyway, so what cameras did you buy then in your gas
Well, I started, to be honest, I think I've been lucky because my girlfriend, my partner, she got already a Leica M2,
Okay.
which she bought for probably like something like 80 euros a few
Oh.
years back.
Okay.
I don't even know where, and but anyway, so she got already a Rolleiflex, the 3.5, and other cameras lining around.
So
So
she was into film photography before you.
not really, no.
No.
She bought them because just she liked them.
Right.
So
Oh.
she knew that Leica would have been a good buy in theory,
Oh,
but
okay.
she didn't know how to use. So she told me, well, yeah, I got these, but I'm not sure they work. Okay, so let's find
Okay.
out. So like this, I started, and yeah, at some point I got hooked with a couple of things. One was pinhole photography, and the other one was 3D printing. I didn't know anything, completely anything about these two topics. And about pinhole photography, I mean, I can't understand how you can't fall in love with pinhole photography. I just love it. I love the results. I love the process. I love the different result, the
Well,
different.
hang on, because you're getting ahead into the next question now. So,
Okay, so
concentrate on the business, and
sorry, yes, okay.
let's not
So
let's not get this interview off to a rambling start on the very
no,
first
no.
one. Let's
Yeah.
try and keep some order to
You are
it.
right, correct.
So,
So basically
focus on the business, how that all got started.
I started looking at 3D printing and pinhole photography. So at some point I got my first 3D print, sorry, 3D printer, and but then at that point I said, well, yeah, okay, I've got the 3D printer, but what can I do with it? Because I didn't want to, download funny things from the internet. I mean, I know how to design. I said, well, I have to use it properly. And I said, well, now what do I do with the 3D printer? And I said, well, let's try to do a pinhole. Why not? And so I.
What design software do you use for those who might be interested in such things?
It is it was called CATIA. It is a professional CAD, and now I'm using 3DX, which is another software. It's basically the evolution of CATIA, and so yeah, like this I started, and I started doing my trials. What can I do? What kind of image do I want from the pinhole? What kind of character do I want to give that to the pinhole? And yeah, I was at the beginning, I was posting some images, of course, on Instagram because I was, well, I was happy about the result. And at the end of the day, it was a pro my project. And at some point, some people started asking, do you sell these cameras? And I said, well, no, they are for me. So basically, after three or four times, 4 or 5 times that people started asking me, at some point I said, yeah, okay, I can
So
sell them.
the very first one, what was it? Was it roll film or sheet film?
No, it was a 35 millimeter.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did straight after a 6x6. And yeah, this is basically what I like shooting, to be honest, medium format.
And you mentioned you were trying to work out what sort of image you wanted. Now, I don't know what you meant by that, but I know you can go for somebody who makes their own pinholes. You know, if you aren't too exact or you aren't too bothered, you can get more dreamy effects. Or if you really nail the shape of the hole and get the pinhole to film distance spot on mathematically, then sometimes the image looks like it's almost made with a lensed camera.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, and to be honest, this is what I was looking for. I was looking for something a bit more sharp, or as sharp as it can be from a pinhole.
Yeah.
And I love wide angle of view. So this is why my first love was the 20 mil focal length.
For the six by six.
Yes, and then on the pinhole sides, I know you can do pinholes how you want, basically at home, but because I said I wanted something more sharp, basically I started buying pinholes from James from.
Reality.
Yes.
Okay. It's an incestuous business, isn't it?
It is. Yes. And so yeah, like this okay. started. And at the beginning, I was selling some cameras, you know, here and there. But after 2 or 3 months, it was a little bit too much for me. So I said, well, you know, I don't want the HMRC knocking at my door. So I went to, basically I opened a limited.
Yeah. Because you can be a sole trader up to a certain value, can't you? And then, and then at some point you have to make a decision, do I become a limited company? But because then it entails annual accounts and all that sort of nonsense.
I went to the limited just because, you know, I'm not very familiar in Italy as well about this kind of, you know, economic stuff. So I said, well, I'm not even in Italy. I prefer to have an accountant taking care about these things that I want to be sure. I mean,
Okay. So where did you, the name Mia Pinhole, where did that come from?
I don't know. I don't even know if I want to say it because it seems quite stupid to me. But anyway, it started because my neighbor, they've got a cat called Mia.
Okay.
And it started because I wanted a name which would have been easy for everybody to tell, to say it. And also, to be honest, the other thought behind it was because Mia means... mine in Italian.
Okay.
So because I wanted something to be let's say bespoke, so if you ask me to do two different knobs, different colors or whatever, you can have your own Mia, you know, that's yours. This was the thought behind it.
I see. Very, very, very clever. Okay, brilliant. So question two, which I've also got down as question one, but anyway, it's meant to say question two on my list. So I've got here, I think you've touched on some of this, but maybe you can expand. So tell the listeners a bit more about yourself, Andrea, maybe some more personal information, and we'll come back to as much as you like to share. You know, I don't need medical history or anything.
Yeah, no, of course. As I said, I don't know what other to add, to be honest.
Which part of Italy were you from?
I'm from Ferrara, so it is a northeast, let's say midway between Bologna and Venice, let's say.
Okay, so would you think of that as a civilized part of Italy?
Well, I hope so, yes.
I did notice that as you drive through Italy, we were chatting briefly before, the quality of the roads deteriorates as the further you head south, and also the standard of driving gets worse.
It's different. Let's say different, yes. Interesting. You use this word, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when did you come to the UK?
I came here in 2013, July. In July 2013 is going to be 10 years. Wow. Yeah. Just because a job opportunity, basically.
Yeah.
And Here I am.
And has and whereabouts are you based in the UK?
I am close to Oxford in Bicester.
Oh, very nice. Okay. And is Mia Pinhole now your full-time occupation, or are you
No,
still
no, no.
keeping
It is
it?
basically a ma my pastime. So it is
Yeah.
only me designing, testing, and thinking about. You know that's my big problem. I've got plenty of ideas. I
Yeah.
just don't have time to do.
So you'll reach the point. I know, speaking to others in this business, because I speak to others, and we'll have
Of
more.
course.
So there comes a point when, do you give up your day job in quotes? Do you get some assistance to help you? When does it stop becoming a hobby which is actually making money for you, and when does it reach a sort of critical mass, I suppose?
Well, I think that my big problem is that I don't have well, I'm not a professional, and I'm lacking of knowledge. I know that I really have to study and to learn things. So when you speak with let's say good people like James, like what's the name of from the guy of Chroma?
Oh, Steve Lloyd.
Steve, I mean, when you listen to these guys speaking, I mean, they've got knowledge. They know how to do stuff. I'm just learning, and I'm just a passionate. I just want to. I consider it my hobby, but I'm really serious about it. I'm trying to do my best, and who knows? Maybe in the future, it's gonna be a bit more than an hobby. I don't know.
Okay, that's fine. Andrea, you started answering this question, but as you know, we're trying to go through these things in order. So
Yes.
what is it about pinhole photography that you that you love? What was that? What gave you the bug? You said you really love it. What is it about pinhole photography?
I like, well, I at the beginning it started also because with the pandemic I really felt about these shops closing or very suffering. So I started going to my photographer shop here locally, and I bonded with him, and I started speaking about things because I really wanted to learn, as I told you.
Is this an analog photography shop?
Yes.
What is
Well,
it? What's the name of it?
Imagex in Bicester,
Okay, right.
and he does basically everything. So I started bonding with him, and so I started learning, and at some point I was asking him about chemicals, and he told me, "Ah, you develop film." And I said, "Well, yeah, I'm just starting, you know." And he told, "Oh, okay, so you can help me. I would love to if I can." So basically, I started developing film, black and white for him,
Well, okay.
and I'm still de developing black and white for him.
Is
So.
this for his personal use, or if customers
No,
bring
for
film in?
customers.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
And
So you went from being, I'll just go and buy a Patterson tank to learn how to do this, to suddenly doing it commercially.
exactly. So, and to be honest, this is every time that I do something, I start or everything or nothing. I don't have a half measure or flat.
You're either horizontal or you're at 200 miles an
Exactly,
hour.
exactly. So, I don't know why, but anyway, it is what it is. And so the same, and I found a pattern basically with pinhole photography. It doesn't matter what camera you have, if it is a awesome, beautiful Ondu, or it is a plastic thing. It doesn't matter if it is a cardboard or whatever. You can speak with people because people, well, when you meet someone, is gonna ask you, "What is that? How does
Yeah,
it work?
exactly.
Do you really take pictures with that thing?" I mean, and this is one of the aspects that I really like about Pinot. And also, I think another thing is that it is very afford. It can be very affordable, and everyone can do it. If you've got passion and you want to do it, it is very easy to do. I mean, everyone at home have got a box, a can of beer or Coca-Cola or whatever. You can do your own camera, and you're ready to go. It's just a matter of Do you want to do it?
And of course, it's leading into the next question, which is about the sort of stuff that you're making. It's a very accessible way of getting into large format
Absolutely.
photography too, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So,
And
with that in mind, I mean, I'm staring at your website now,
yeah,
and
that's another big story anyway.
is
Well,
it?
you know,
Go on, you can tell.
I have done it, so I didn't pay anyone else to do my website, and you can
Okay.
tell because I mean it's not great, but I mean this is
Well, you
another.
know, it's got pictures of your cameras on, and you can buy
Yeah.
them. I mean, what else do you
No.
want?
Yeah, no, but you know, if you look around, you can really see
I know.
beautiful websites. But I mean, it is part of my project, and this is what makes me really, I mean, happy.
See, I think you're an amateur in the traditional sense of the word, and I don't mean it in any way derogatory. I mean it as a compliment, you know. And in the old sense of the word amateur,
Thank you.
it was someone who was dedicated, professional, and very knowledgeable about his subject and full of enthusiasm. You
Yeah,
know,
I'm not sure about the professional and but you know, yeah, I do
well,
my best.
it's all relative.
Exactly,
My
yes.
buddy and co-host on the large format photography
Yeah.
podcast, Simon Forster,
Yeah.
who Simon Forster Photographic, he's set himself up, and I'll tell him about this interview. Hi, Simon. After we've finished, and he'll be very interested because he was started off with his 3D printer that he got for Christmas, I think, and
Yeah.
within 2 years, you know, he's now making things for Steve Lloyd, he's making things for other people, and he's made a little niche for himself, you know.
Would be awesome. To be
And
honest, I mean, what's not to like when you are able to design and think something that can be used from others?
yeah.
To me, I mean, it's just fantastic to me. It's something beautiful to think about. And to be honest, now, well, it is getting tricky because my work it is quite demanding in terms of mental you know and time because
Yeah.
they well but I find myself thinking at night I wake up and I'm thinking about a new shutter or a new way of this
You're
kind of
obsessed.
stuff you
You're obsessed,
know
aren't you? You're
well
obsessed.
the thing is that I think that if you want to be I don't want to say good, but if you want to try to achieve a goal in something, you have to be obsessed by it. Otherwise, it's just a pastime.
Well, I think it's going to carry you a long way, and you know,
I
there's
hope.
and looking at the range of things. So you've got, I'll just read things out because it's just easier. You've got at one end, one end of the range, you've got those little adapters you can put into for 35mm to
Yes.
120, so you can go to your site for those. But the thing that caught my attention most recently, you know, you've got 6x6 cameras, very wide angle. 10mm
Yeah.
focal length, insane
Quite
near
crazy.
6x6, and you've got your more almost telephoto 20mm by comparison, and then you've got some lovely looking 4x5, again fairly wide angle cameras, but you've got an anamorphic camera, and you've got this
Yeah,
S S is Isomir
is a Mia, yes.
Isomir. So that's just so the anamorphic camera for those. Well, look, listeners out there, go to mirpinhole.com and have a look at anamorphic. Google it, and you'll see what kind of weirdness you can get from an anamorphic pinhole camera. And
Yeah, that's
we've covered anamorphic pinhole cameras on previous episodes, and for the life of me, I can't remember which shows they were on, but we've touched on anamorphic pinhole cameras, but before maybe Cezary Barcek, I think he makes some wooden ones, and maybe when we interviewed him a while back, if you dig back into the archives, we were talking to Cezary about those. But we've spoken about those. But we also had Chris Perigoi on Perigoi, and he made pinhole blender cameras out of what looks like, and I've got one in my drawer here because he sent me one, and it's like a round tin.
Yes.
It's doing it a disservice, and you load your 6x6 film in a sort of curve, and it's got three, I think this one, Chris's one's got three pinholes, And the idea is that the image is blended with these three pinholes. But you've got this Isomir 20mm focal length 5-hole pinhole blender camera. Tell folks about that in particular.
That was quite, yeah, this one was quite, it was one rambling of one night that I wasn't able to sleep.
Were you drunk at the time?
No, I don't drink, so.
Not some good Italian red wine?
Is there such a thing? I stopped drinking, so now I'm drinking just Coca-Cola and water anyway.
Okay.
Anyway, yeah, this is, I started because I was interested in the blender.
Yeah.
I've seen online some beautiful pictures.
Yeah.
And I said, well, do you want to say I'm not able to do it? I mean, I want to do it in my way. And I started just by chance thinking about it. And at the beginning, I wanted a 360 degrees camera. So basically with six pinholes. And I did it, but I discovered, well, it wasn't very, I thought it wasn't good for commercial because it was a bit, you know, it was a bit tricky to load up and I wasn't very happy. So basically this one, it is five pinholes and it does, of course, a 300 degrees pictures. So it is the measure of the, basically imagine that on a 120 film, you can have four images. So they are quite long. Mm-hmm. It's more than a 6x12. I would say probably a 6x17 or something like that. So they are quite long images.
So if you've got a, somewhere in my office, I've got one of those Lomography 6x17 scan adapters, and I've actually lost it. It's somewhere in my messy office. But so 6x17, I mean, at least you can do something with a negative because there's no point producing a negative that you can't scan easily, is there?
Yes, well, no, you can scan it, this one, because, I mean, I've got an Epson V600, and you can scan one picture at a time of this.
Yep.
So,
but I think if it's 6x17, then you can certainly use that Lomography holder, the digitizer. Yes.
Okay, yeah.
And there's probably other solutions out there as well. But anyway, carry on telling us about this.
This is it, basically. You can load up the film inside. There are, as you see, there are these two knobs.
Yeah.
Of course, it's not a conventional camera. So when you have to wind the knob in order to pass to the next image, you have to help yourself. You know, you have to use both hands and turn both knobs together, because otherwise the friction is too much. And but yeah, it works. I like it. And inside, I didn't take a pictures of the inside, but I put some let's say blades between the pinholes, so you can take these blades on and off. So basically, if you take them off, you've got all the images, they are blended together.
Yeah.
If you put them on, basically you've got five distinct images.
So you could set the camera up and record images, separate images from around the sort of circumference of the camera.
Yeah, well, not separate, because they are distinct images.
Yes.
But the shutter, as you see, is, which is the in the picture, is the teal on the edges of the camera, basically the teal piece, that is going to go up and down, so it's going to open contemporarily the five pinholes, and it's going to close all of them in one go.
Okay.
And my idea was that if you play with the different shape of these blades, you're going to have different effects. So rather than having a straight edge, if you do like a curved one or a double-edged, you know, you are going to have different images. It's just a matter of if you want to play with it, that there are a lot of possibilities.
It looks brilliant, and I'm sorely tempted. I've got to buy some film first, but I am sorely tempted. It's I don't buy many pinhole cameras these days, but I saw somebody playing with it on Instagram. I forget who it was, or maybe in the
James
lens. James, was it? Yeah, in
Murray, yeah.
the yeah James Murray. Yeah, in the lensless. Yes, because I met James at the photography show, and his Holga work is just superb, isn't it? You know.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, that's James. I knew I'd seen someone playing with it, and it looks brilliant. Okay. Last question. I'm not sure I should ask this really, because the way how busy you are. What lies ahead for Mia Pinhole? What other idea? Well, you don't need to give all your secrets away, but in a more general sense, where do you see Mia Pinhole going in the next few years, do you
To
think?
be honest, I don't know. I didn't think about it. At the moment, I'm just enjoying it, and
Yeah.
my idea is that hopefully it's gonna bring me some joy at least. And who knows? Maybe tomorrow is not gonna be an hobby anymore, and it's gonna be something a bit more serious. Because doing something that you really like, it is a well. I mean, you have to
Yeah,
feel very lucky.
you've got to try and avoid. It's like people used to say to me, "Well, why don't you do photography for a living?" And I thought, I can't think of anything worse because I'm worried that I might not enjoy it anymore, you know.
Exactly. This is the reason why I don't know how it's gonna be tomorrow. At the moment, I'm just enjoying it, and if tomorrow is gonna be something more, well,
Yeah.
why not? But at the moment, I don't want to plan.
Yeah.
I just like it,
Well,
and
I love your attitude. I think it's brilliant, and I'm sure it'll just take you a long way. Andrea,
thank you.
thank you so much. Where do folks find you on various social things?
Well, I've got my website, as you said, miapinhole.com. I am on Instagram, on Twitter, which I don't use it a lot, and on Facebook as well. My problem is that I'm not very social. I'm not very good with social. At this time, even if I don't consider myself old, I think I'm quite started beginning like a boomer,
Come on then, let's compare ages. How old are you?
I am 44.
Oh well,
I'm
there
not
you
old.
go. I'm 57 and I'm all over social media, so you
You know what? The thing is that I feel myself more analogic. I don't like this
Yeah.
kind
I know, but
of.
isn't it a wonderful thing that
It
allows
is.
us to connect with other analog people
Absolutely.
and this weird digital media,
No,
this new
absolutely.
allows us, all us analog nerds, to speak to each
Well,
other.
just because of Instagram, I met Alec Payne, and so it was just because of Instagram. He dropped me a message a couple of years ago, and we started meeting, and so yeah, I met quite a few people, and
Alec has been here, so I know Alec.
I am yeah. Yeah,
Yeah.
this is why I mentioned him.
Yeah.
And I'm not very social. I do my best, but I'm all over, let's
Well,
say.
you're very sociable, and you know we exchanged lots of messages on the journey to this event, and I
Yeah.
thought you kept saying, "Well, I don't speak very good English." Well, listen, you know you do.
Thank you. Thank
And
you.
it's been an absolute pleasure. And well, I'm going to draw a line there because we're just over the 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Andrea, thank you so very much. And whatever happens to with Mia Pinhole over the years to come, I wish you all the very best.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Okay, bye everybody. Say goodbye, Andrea.
Cheers. Bye, everybody. Ciao,
Bye
ciao.
bye bye.